Have your Bibles. Let's turn in them to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And this morning, as we'll read the whole chapter, Genesis 21, we'll read verses 1 through 34. Genesis 21, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God, so let's give our attention to them. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time at which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him, from the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. And those are God's words, and as was promised, as we keep going through Genesis, as was promised for years, in which Abraham and Sarah doubted. Now Abraham's like 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old, and we see here Isaac, the child of promise, is born. No matter, beloved, when everything is against you, everything is against us as the church, no matter if years and years and time goes out, goes by throughout your whole life, it could go by. Our God is always faithful to His promises and His perfect timing. And through verse 21, then we see that Ishmael also, in fulfillment of God's promises, is cast out. And yet here too, we see the common grace of the Lord, all to fulfill the plan and promise to make of Ishmael a great nation, in which he would. And then through verse 32, we see an example of loving our neighbor, loving our enemies. For Abraham is able to make a covenant, a contract with Abimelech to secure the well at Beersheba that was his. And this further evidence that the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants was protected by the Lord. And the chapter ends with Abraham's devotion and worship of the Lord as God that we are to do as well, to worship and devote ourselves to the Lord, because He is, it says, He is the everlasting God. And He is faithful to keep all of His promises. And so we must trust in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. We're thankful for this passage in Genesis and how You teach us again and again, even when it seems like there's no way that Your promises will be kept. With Sarah, who's way past childbearing age at 90 years old, and Abraham, also way past the ability to bear children at 100 years old, yet still, by Your promise, You keep and You give them a child. And his name was Isaac. And we're thankful that You kept Your promise. And even into the next chapter, we'll see that You will keep that promise, because through the line of Abraham and Isaac will come one. We know who has come, the Messiah, the Anointed One we just sang about, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that He has come, and that all those promises You've made concerning Him, though at many times seemed so far-fetched and so unlikely and so against every logical thought that we could come up with in our fallen nature. And yet still, Father, You are faithful. And You brought about Your Son, and You've given us the gospel through Him. And He lived a perfect righteous life and died on the cross for the sins of Your people. And all who come unto Him will have life in His name. Knowing that He was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead, now seated on the throne, and He reigns over all. And all the magistrate is to come to kiss the Son, lest they perish in the way. And our nation, our civil rulers must come and bow the knee and kiss Him, submit to Him, pledge their allegiance alone to Him. And Father, we pray that You would bring this about. For our country is far from this. You've made promises that all the nations will serve Him. That the nations will bring gifts to Him. And yet, Father, that seems so far-fetched. But we remember Your promise, and that You are always faithful. No matter what it seems like to us, You are always faithful. No matter when it seems completely opposite of what could happen, You are always faithful, and we're thankful for this, that You're the God of faithfulness, and You're the faithful God because You're the everlasting God. And Father, this morning we ask for Your help, we ask for Your strength and power to bring this about for our nation. And even for the few righteous who remain, You would spare us, as You promised You would for Abraham. If that be your will, Lord, spare us in your judgment and the judgment that this nation deserves. And Father, as you are judging also the church, where judgment comes to the house of God first, Father, we pray that if it be your will, that you would show mercy to us and not judge us according to our sins, but that you would receive us and look upon us and treat us as in union with your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that that would be true of all of us here, from the youngest to the oldest. Father, we plead this morning that you would be with the churches who need ministers. Provide for them, we pray. Perhaps especially this morning for the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Denver, we pray that you would provide a minister for them as their pastor is resigning. Pray that you would provide a minister soon, one who is faithful to you and bold and godly. Pray the same for those other congregations without ministers and the church plants who need church planters. And you know all of them, Father. And you know each one who's worshiping with them by name. And so, Father, we ask that you would provide a consistent preaching ministry for each of them. For we know what a great blessing that is, and what a hardship it is without that. Father, we also ask for your help with those who are sick, who are not feeling well. Pray that you would heal them and strengthen them. And those you have healed, we praise you for answering our prayers and being the God who you say you are, the God who heals. And Father, even those who will never be healed in this life, we know that you will heal your people, all of them, perfectly in the life to come. And so we put our faith and our trust in your healing of them. We put that in you. And not in medicine so much, or doctors. We put our trust in you. Father, we pray the same for the virus that many are fearful of. We pray that we would not fear. But also, Father, that you would heal your people and not have us trust in the things of this world, but trust in you. And then, Father, we ask for your help, that you would watch over us as a congregation, protect us from evil, from wolves coming in trying to destroy the sheep, and also the goats who may be among us. Father, we ask that you would protect us from divisiveness and from sin. All of us would seek to put to death sin that remains in us. That we would hate sin. That we would love righteousness. That we would love unity and the truth and peace amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that you would provide for us, each one, each in our families, and each for the church. And grow us in number for your glory alone. That the gospel go to more and more people. And we would be able to support missionaries and you would raise up from amongst us elders and deacons and pastors and missionaries, church planters. But Father, we also pray that you would raise up godly husbands and fathers and children. All who love you above all things. And may we all come, as we continue worshiping now, to your throne, bowing the knee to Jesus Christ, our mediatorial King, who reigns over all. Not only is head over the church, but over all nations he rules. And he is sovereign, and so we put our hope and our trust in him in all things, no matter what may come. We pray in his name. Amen.